this past week was chapter 6 through 10. And we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 7 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 7. If you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible, you don't own one, I want to encourage you to grab one from our back table. We give the Bible away for free here. It's important for you to have the Word of God in your hands. Amen. And not just in your hands, but have the ability to open it and read it and study it. So if you need one, please grab one as you can. If you don't have one right now, you can grab one and take it with you as you go. It's our free gift to you. 1 Samuel chapter 7, when you have it, I'd ask if you would please stand as we show our honor and respect for the reading of God's holy word. If you see someone struggling to find 1 Samuel, please help them. Help them get to 1 Samuel so they can see the word of God for themselves. 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'm only going to read one verse to you this morning, but we are going to tackle all 12 verses, the first 12 verses of chapter 7, but we're only going to read one as of right now. Verse 12, it says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.'" This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your holy word this morning. And now, Lord, we ask that you would add a blessing to the reading of it. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin and empty me of self and help me this morning to be a blessing to your people. But Lord, may I fade to the back and may you, the real preacher, come forward. You, the living word. You, the incarnate word. For Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. Lord, I pray today, if there is one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that their eyes are open to you as their help for salvation. And for those who may be stuck, for those who may be in need, for those who may be feeling like they're being left behind or not where they're supposed to be, as children of God, I pray that you would remind them of the help that we have in you. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and all of God's people said, amen. Go ahead and be seated. So let me recap the first 11 verses for you as to how we got to verse 12. We see at the very beginning of chapter 7 and even back in chapter 6, we see that the Ark of the Covenant is finally returned unto the Israelites after the Philistines had captured it. And we know that as the Philistines had it, and they had it, they didn't have it rightfully, that God brought a lot of plagues, they brought a lot of afflictions on them, and so the Philistines were just looking, hey, we need to get rid of this, we need to give it back to the Israelites, and finally they got it back to the Israelites. The Israelites had rejoiced that the Ark of the Covenant had been returned to them. And then as they had it over the course of the next 20 years, at the end of that 20 years, the Israelites finally decided to get right with God, to renew their covenant unto God. And Samuel brings a message to them to tell them how to get right. And they respond to his message. And they go into a period of repentance and mourning, and they go before the Lord and make an offering and a sacrifice, and they're worshiping him. And as they're trying to get right with God, the Philistines catch wind with it. And the Philistines are angry because, you see, even though the Ark of the Covenant was returned unto Israel, the Philistines still had power and control and dominion over the Israelites. And so they're like, oh my goodness, if they're getting right with God, they might soon be free of us. So they said, we're going to go attack them. And so the Philistines were coming to attack the Israelites as they were trying to get right with God and they're worshiping God. And then we see that the Israelites caught wind of the Philistines coming. They go unto Samuel and they say, Samuel, they're coming. We need you to cry out to the Lord that he would hear our voice. And Samuel, being the leader that he was, put forth an offering, cried out to the Lord. And it says, the Lord heard Samuel. Praise God. The Lord heard Samuel. And it says that when the Lord heard Samuel, that a strong thunder came across as the Philistines were getting ready to attack, and it discomforted the Philistines. It wiped out the Philistines. The ones who did leave, the Israelites were then able to drive out, and the Israelites were free finally of the Philistines. And the Israelites were free again. Praise God. I mean, that's a lot to happen in 12 verses, but if you ever notice in the Old Testament, there's a lot of things that happen, boom, 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 right? The Israelites are finally free, and then we get to verse 12. And again, listen to me. Read it. It says, then after all of this had taken place, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer. Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Ebenezer there in the original language literally means the stone of help. How many of you guys remember the old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? In the second verse, it's, here I raise my Ebenezer, hitherto thy help has come. When they're and how many of you guys ever said, what in the heck is an Ebenezer and why am I raising it? Now you know. It comes from this story. An Ebenezer is a symbol of God helping you. A reminder that God is our help. And that's what I want to focus on, is that last part of verse 12. It said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I have a real simple question for you this morning. How many of y'all who are here this morning under the sound of my voice at Grace Church need help this morning? Okay, I'm glad you're responding, because if y'all kept your hands down, I was going to call you a bunch of liars. All right? Amen. Some of y'all are raising two hands, right? Some of you even a foot. That's right. We all need help. Amen? Some of us more than others, if you know what I'm saying. But we all need help, right? By the grace of God, we live this Christian life, right? If you're here this morning, you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know that just because Jesus has saved you and you are washed and you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and you are a saved child of God, you know that that doesn't mean that the enemy has stopped bothering you. And you know that the enemy is trying to attack you. My spiritual father, Pastor Bradley, I've told you this many times, used to say, once you are on Jesus' friend list, you then are on the enemy's hit list. The enemy didn't care about you before you were saved. The enemy was fine with you before you were saved. You were a sinner, you didn't know any better, and you were going to hell. But now that you are saved, you are no longer under his power, you were redeemed, and until God takes you home, you are a force to be reckoned with in this world to try to get other people to get saved and take them home. You are now a threat to the enemy, and he's going to come at you hard. And if you don't realize this morning as a Christian that you need help from the Lord in your daily walk, in your daily life, you are sadly mistaken. And you are setting yourself up for defeat. And let me tell you, that's what happened to the Israelites. Time and time again, they would cry out to God, Lord, we need you. He would send a judge. He'd rescue them. They'd come back into covenant. Things would get well. They'd fall backwards. They'd get into stuff again. They'd think, we don't need the Lord anymore. Folks, it was a continual cycle that you've seen out there. Again, the cycle had happened. And so I'm just going to submit that to you this morning. If you're here this morning and you need help, right? If you're here this morning and things are rough, if you're here this morning and you've backslidden in your Christian walk, if you're here this morning and you're in a mess and you don't know how to get out of it, if you're here this morning and because of the mess you're in, you've got stress and you've got anxiety and you don't know exactly how to deal with it, you don't know where to turn, you don't know what self-help book to go to. By the way, with the song, I Get By With A Little Help From My Friends, that's all well and good, and it's good to have Christian friends to get by with, to get a little help from, but listen to me, you need Jesus to help you. You need God that can help you. There is no one who can help you and get you out and get you through and get you on to glory and get you praising and get you to heaven than Jesus Christ. Your friends, don't even compare. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And can I tell you, as you look through, I want to tell you this morning, no matter what you find yourself in, no matter what situation you find yourself in, listen to me, there is help. And it's available to you. It's available to you. I want you to notice something as we go through this passage this morning. You're going to find that the Israelites did nothing to help themselves. They did absolutely nothing to help themselves, but rather God was their help. Just as Samuel declared in the 12th verse, he said, and God has helped us. Yes, God helped them the whole entire way. It was Jesus alone. It was God alone. It was nothing that the Israelites did, nothing that Samuel did. It was by the grace of God that they were helped. And I want to tell you the same exact thing, how God helped Israel get to where they are by the end of chapter 7 is the same exact thing that God still offers to you today if you need some help. Do you need help this morning, church? Do you need help this morning, church? It's not a bad thing to say you need help. It's a humbling thing to acknowledge and know that you need help. Let me show you the help that God has offered us before and continues to offer us now. Number one, I want you to see he helps us by having his presence in our lives. He helps us by having his presence in our lives. If you look at verse 2 with me of chapter 7, we know that the Ark of the Covenant had been returned unto Israel by the Philistines. They're excited that it's back in their presence, back in their possession. And it says in verse 2, it says, "And it came to pass while the Ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." Did you catch what the verse said? It said that they got the Ark of the Covenant back. Now remember, again, remember the context. The Israelites are in captivity to the Philistines. The Philistines gave them the Ark back, but they're still under Philistine control. They still are mixing Philistine culture with theirs. They're still following false gods and have forsaken their God. But they're happy that at least the sign of their covenant and of God's goodness is back in their possession, the Ark of the Covenant. But it says that even over the course of the Ark being back in their possession and them rejoicing that it's in their possession, that it's there as a symbol, it says that during those 20 years, the house of Israel lamented. They weren't happy. There was something that was wrong. Now, you would think, we have the Ark of the God. There should be celebrations. Everything's good. Why are they lamenting? Because they had the presence of the Lord in their life, but they weren't living for the Lord. So instead of the Ark of the Covenant be a blessing in their presence, you know what the Ark of the Covenant was in their presence because they weren't living for God? It was a thorn in their side. It was a constant reminder that they weren't being who God called them to be. It was a constant reminder of how they had taken the Philistines' culture and had mixed it in with theirs. It was a constant reminder that they weren't just sanctified and set apart to God, but now they're worshiping the gods of the Philistines as well. They had mixed things up. And because of that, because of them thinking that they could find peace with the Philistines' culture and they could find peace with the Philistines' God, actually what they had, even with the Ark of the Covenant in the present, was no peace, no happiness, no joy, no fulfillment, no purpose. There's nothing there. You say, "Pastor Jeff, okay, well, how is that helpful? How is that helpful?" It made them realize that only God could bring them peace. It made them realize only God could bring them happiness. It made them hearken back to a time before they had intermingled with the Philistines and adopted the practices of the Philistines when they had the Ark of the Covenant and they were purified unto God. They remembered that only God and serving him could bring joy, could bring fulfillment, could bring peace in their lives. And so what they did was they finally woke up. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of God's presence. And it helped them understand that nothing in this world could ever fulfill them like God had. Folks, listen to me. The only thing that will ever fulfill you in this world is Jesus. Ever. Ever. And I want to tell you something. Praise God. Praise God that when you, just like the Israelites, abandoned him, God didn't abandon you. Praise God that when you compromised and allowed the world in, that God didn't say, "Okay, you screwed up, see ya, bye." But God's presence stuck around. Notice, God didn't speak to them and say, "Yeah, you got the Ark of the Covenant, my presence, now clean yourselves up." God let the Ark be a sign of his presence and let his presence do the rest. Let me give you a how that works in our lives and how it's a help. It's very interesting being a pastor. In the 14 years that I've been doing this, it's very interesting how when I'm out in public, or if I'm on an airplane, or if I'm with a group of people and they don't know who I am. And they're just talking and this and talking about whatever under the sun, very worldly stuff. They're cursing this, cursing that, talking. And then, well, what do you do? Well, I'm a pastor. And it's amazing how quickly they stop. Oh, or every time then after that, that they use a curse word, it's, well, I'm sorry, pastor. Just because of the presence that is now known next to them, that's a child of God. I'm in the presence of a pastor. Now, I'm not anything special, folks, but listen to me. I hope your presence amongst unbelievers changes. I hope it changes the environment when they know you're a child of God, because it should. But listen to me. Listen to me. I want you to praise God this morning for the times in your life that you were far from him, that you compromised him, that God still kept his place in your life because you are his child. So that way, when the time had come and the Spirit could work on your life, he remained present, his call still amplified, and he was able to remind you just by being there, just by still showing up, just by having that Christian buddy that's still in your life, just by having that annoying pastor down the road call you on the phone and say, where have you been? Just by having that annoying praise song maybe in the car that pops on and brings you back. Praise God that he did not take his presence from you when you strayed from him, but his presence helped you in the midst of your sin. Say, I got to get back right with God. I got to get back right with God. He is not going to leave me alone. And so maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're unhappy because you're here this morning. My goodness, my spouse drugged me along again. And it's because you've backslidden in your life and you've gotten away from the church. Listen to me, don't get mad at your spouse. Don't get mad at the church. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at yourself. You got yourself there. Now praise God, he stuck with you. He reminded you. His presence is still calling, and return unto him. Return unto him. Praise him that he gives his presence in our lives when we don't want it. Praise him that the Lord helped you. Secondly, the Lord helped them first because of his presence in their lives, but the Lord also helped them because his word was there to bring them back. His word was there to bring them back. Look with me at verse 3. Samuel, after they realize why they are not happy and why they are lamenting, even with the Ark of the Covenant there, they go to Samuel, and Samuel speaks up, and Samuel says, and Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all of your hearts, then put away the strange gods of Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel said, look, you need to put away your strange gods. You need to put away the gods you're worshiping that you're not supposed to. You need to then prepare your hearts. You need to get right. You need to clean out the clutter and the things that you've allowed to become your desires that are actually worldly desires. You need to commit again to serving him and serving him alone. He says, this is the way that you will have freedom from the bondage of what is the culture of the Philistines, from the bondage of the gods of the Philistines, from the lamenting and the sorrow that you have in your heart because of the reminder of God's presence in your life, that you're not being who he called you to be. He said, you want to be free from that? Here's what you need to do. In other words, Samuel, who was the prophet at the time, he gave them a word from God as to how to return. You know what he did? He basically reminded them of the book of the law that God had already given. Return and repent. And if you look at verses 4-6, I'm not going to read them, but it says, notice it says that they accepted the word of God. It was direction for them to how to fix their circumstance, right? It says that they repented. And folks, when we talk about repentance, I'm not just saying I'm sorry. These people, look, this is what true repentance is. They were sorry for what they did. They lamented about what they did, right? It wasn't just, oh, I'm sorry that God's not in my life. It's, sorry, God, I sinned against you. It says they poured out water offering and symbolizing of their tears. It says that they were upset with themselves. It says they committed to change. They got rid of the gods. It says they went and they worshiped before the Lord. They were all in. Praise God that Samuel was there, that when they wanted to get out of their situation and they wanted to respond of God's presence in their life, praise God, Samuel was there to bring them the word and the direction as to how to get out. Praise God, the word could help them. Praise God that the word had helped them. Praise God that when you've been found in a situation where you want to respond to God, but you don't know how to respond to God, folks, this is why it's so important for you to read your Bible. This is why it's so important for you to be in the word. Because when times come and you don't know what to do and you don't know how to overcome and you don't know where to go, praise the Lord for the scripture verse that says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You see, that word from God does not return void. Praise God that when you hear the word, that when you study the word, that when you read the word, that when you're in a Bible study class and you have the word brought to you and expounded to you, it says that word just doesn't go in one ear or out the other. It says God's word does not return unto him void. Somewhere, at some point in your life and in that body and in that mind and in the recesses of your heart, that word has planted itself in you for such a time where God says, "I need you to come back to me," and he recalls it to you. Ladies and gentlemen, he helps us with his word. Aren't you glad this morning that you just don't get his presence, but he gives you direction? Amen. Aren't you glad that he just doesn't say, "Hey, remember me, I'm here, but yeah, in order to get back to me, you got to figure it out yourself." Praise God, he gives you his word. Praise God, it directs you back. Praise God that you can be heard, that you can be remembered. In fact, that's why the word says, "Blessed are the feet of those who bring the gospel." Blessed are the feet who brings the gospel. Aren't you glad that there was somebody who loved you and cared for you enough that when you needed to hear the word of God, they brought you the word of God? Come on now. I'm not just talking about the pastor. I'm talking about other people in your life. I hope you have people in your life, Christian, that stand on the word of God and are willing to speak the word of God to you when you find yourself falling astray, when you find yourself in a situation that you want to get back with the Lord, because thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And when you take that word and you take that word and you do that word and you put it in your heart and you repent unto him, you know what it says? That when you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he will lift you up. He gives us his word to help, and he puts his word in our heart and in our mind so that way when we need it, we know where to go. Praise the Lord. But here's the bad part. Let me tell you something. When you start getting right with God, when the Lord helps us, reminds us of his presence, gives us his word, right? You know what starts happening. The enemy catches wind of it. And you can be sure, if you've finally woken up and your spiritual eyes have been opened to the sin you need to get rid of or to the mess you need to get out of, and you go before the Lord and he gives you his word and you commit to doing his word and you're trying to turn your life around, you can bet the enemy's going to come knocking at your door. Some of y'all, he won't even knock. He'll just barge right in. Come on. It never fails. You try to live a godly life, something's going to happen. The enemy will show up. And that's exactly what happens in verse 7. The Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah. The lords of Philistine went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And you see, that's what keeps us from moving forward in the word right there. You're moving forward. The enemy rears his ugly head, yells, screams, makes a mess, and you and I back down because we don't want to deal with it. It says they were afraid. Let me ask you something. If you're in Christ, do you have anything to be afraid of? Do you have anything of the enemy to be afraid of? No. You got nothing to be afraid of. Listen to me. It says, and when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Listen to me. Whenever you want to get right with God, the enemy will attack you. And you've got two choices. You can either give in or you can cry out for help. You can either give in or you can cry out for help. And that's what we see. That's what we see the Israelites did. Look at verses 8 and 9. In verse 8, we see that they went to Samuel. They cried out to God that he would save them. He said, "Samuel, go, what's it say there in verse 8? It says, go and offer, it took a suckling lamb, right? Offer a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel did that. Samuel interceded for them. Samuel cried out for them, right? And here's what I want you to see. As Samuel interceded in their time of trouble, look at the last phrase in verse 9. And the Lord heard them. And the Lord heard him. Samuel interceded in a time of trouble, and praise God, the Lord heard him. Listen, he heard him on behalf of Israel because of their true repentance that they had shown earlier. He knew they were right. He knew their heart was ready. He knew that their heart was ready to get right. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have a friend that you can call on when there's time of trouble in your life. I really do. Praise God for Samuel. Praise God, they recognize the authority of Samuel. They recognize the connection that Samuel had because Samuel stayed pure and he stayed true to the Lord even when they weren't. They said, if someone's going to help us out of this mess and commune on our behalf and talk to God, it's going to be Samuel. And so they went to Samuel and said, do this for us, please. Keep praying. They're coming. They're going to take us back into captivity. They're not going to let us be free. They're going to run over us. Things are going to be terrible, just like how they've been before. And Samuel interceded on their behalf. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have a friend that when you need someone to cry out to in encouragement for God, that when you need someone to intercede on your behalf, I hope you have a brother or a sister or a mentor in Christ that you can go to and is willing to pray for you on your behalf. When you don't feel like your prayer is going to get through, when you don't feel like you can cry out to God. But here's the other thing. Listen to me. They had to go to Samuel because of the time in which they lived. Samuel was the prophet. Samuel was the priest. Samuel was the one who offered the offerings. Can I tell you, you don't live in the same time as the Israelites. Can I thank you that when you need to cry out to God and you need him to hear your cry, can I tell you, when you need help from God, you don't have to go get a suckling lamb and go shed its blood on an altar. You don't have to go get your fatted calf and slaughter him on an altar. You don't have to go get your firstborn and give them as an offering. Did I say that out loud? Anyway, you don't have to offer something unto God other than your humble heart and cry out to him. Why? Because the Lamb of God has been slain on the altar. The blood of the Lamb covers you, and you got full access and a direct connection to cry out to God. Access the help that you have. He's given you his presence. He's given you his word. Now go into the throne room of grace. Go before your king. Go before your king and cry out and say, I need help, and praise the Lord. It says, and the Lord heard him. Listen to me. God's going to hear you because you've pled the precious blood of the Lamb. God's going to hear you because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. God's going to hear you because you're a child of God. God is going to hear you. And every time you go to talk to him, every time you cry out to him, you're never going to get a busy signal. You're never going to get a call declined. You're never going to get any of that. He's there, and he wants to hear from his children. Go before him with a humble heart. He hears our cry. He helps us by hearing our cry. And last but not least, I want you to see, when we acknowledge his presence, he helps us. When he brings us his word, he helps us. When he hears our cry, he helps us. And last but not least, he sends his spirit. He sends his spirit. Look with me at verses 10 and 11. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against the Israelites. Did you hear that? This is great. Remember, this is all kind of together. You know what's why I think that's... They're worshiping God. They're in the middle of their worship service. And the Philistines come on them. They're trying to disrupt their worship. And what Samuel's doing. Which means that these people, these Israelites, are completely unarmed at this time. They're not ready for battle. They're in a worship service, right? So it says that the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. They came upon Israel during worship. They came upon Israel unarmed. You may say that doesn't make the best of conclusion, but that doesn't make for a great outcome. You know what I love? That when you cry out to God, it doesn't matter what you're in the midst of. When the enemy's coming, you serve an on-time God. And God showed up exactly when they needed him, exactly when they wanted him, exactly after they cried out to him. And it says he sent a thunder, right? He thundered. I love how the King James puts it. Thundered with a great thunder. You got to love that. Thundered with a great thunder. And it went upon the Philistines. It discomfited them and it smitten them. In other words, the thunder, the great thunder was so great that not only did it make some of them scared and get them out of their element and wonder what's going on and confuse them, but some of them, it caused them to be killed. They fell over because of it. They were done. They were wiped out. Some of them died because of this thunder. Pastor, you said that when we cry out to the Lord and the Lord helps us, he sends a spirit. Where's the spirit in this? Didn't you hear? He thundered with the great thunder. Last I checked, the sound of God's presence coming into a place that we see in Acts was the sound of a rushing and a mighty wind. What's the sound of a rushing and a mighty wind? Last time I checked, that equals some thunder. Amen. Folks, you think that the Trinity ain't active in the Old Testament. The Trinity is active in the Old Testament. What do you think it was that thundered with a great thunder? The Holy Spirit went up against them. It went forth from them. It knocked some people down. It confused some people because these heathens from Philistine had no idea what was going on. The Holy Spirit showed up. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen? He showed up when they didn't have any weapons. Listen to me. When you feel like you have no weapons to fight the enemy, that's when you need to cry out to the Lord for his Holy Spirit to show up. Because guess what? The Holy Spirit is, don't make me go all Sunday school song on you, but the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. And the Holy Spirit, praise God, he doesn't have to send it over. If you're a child of God, it's already in you. And so what it does when you cry out to him in humility, you know what that does? It activates what you already have. And you may be unarmed in the eyes of the world, but baby, you got the armor of God on you now. The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of truth. Praise God. You've got the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Come on now. You've got it all right there. And you know what the Holy Spirit did? The Holy Spirit showed up and did the first part. He discomforted them. He put them down on the ground. Because look at this. This is so great. Look at this. Look at verse 12. I'm sorry, not verse 12. Wait. Verse 11. Sorry. Look at verse 11. It says, and the men of Israel went out of Mizpah. Went out of Mizpah. Right? And pursued the Philistines. Pursued them. And smote them until they came under Beth-Gar. What does that mean, Pastor? What that means is they went from being on the defensive. The Holy Spirit of God showed up, fought their battle. While that's discomforted, why did they say it discomforted them? It put them in a shock. They didn't know where they were. Wiped out some of the people. It gave them time to go home, to get their weapons, and now they're pursuing the enemy and driving them out. Praise God, when you call upon him, his Holy Spirit shows up and he takes care of the battle. Praise God, the Holy Spirit will fight your battles until you've got enough bearings in you to understand and to realize you've got the armor of God on you. And then you can take that armor of God once you're finally standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and you can then move forward and you can fight off the enemies and push them back. He reminds you. He's there to help you with his Spirit. Notice now they are rebuking. Notice now they are the enemy's retreating. Notice now they are slaying the enemy because they cried out to him and he sent his help. And praise God, you've got the ultimate helper living and breathing inside of you, Christian. You got that Holy Spirit that can activate, that can remind you of what you've got, and you can move forward in that battle. Praise God, he goes before you. Aren't you glad this morning the Holy Spirit goes before you? Come on, that's what the Word says. He goes before you, right? Paths of righteousness in your for his name's sake. Come on, that's what it says. Come on. And not only does he go before you, but let me tell you, Psalm 23, remember, what's it say? It says you got goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. He goes before you and he cleans up your mess behind you. why we don't rely on the Spirit of God that's active within our life more for help. Lord knows we forget the power that we have that's inside of us, the same power that rose Christ from the dead. That's there for you to fight your enemy. That's there for you to fight the battles that the enemy brings. You've got a built-in help system. He puts you on the offensive. How many of y'all know the church is supposed to be on the offensive? Not the defensive. We live in a life where the church is constantly defensive. We're supposed to be on the offensive. What did Jesus say? He said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It didn't say that the gates of heaven are going to hold strong against the enemy. It says that the gates of hell are going to be stormed by Christians, going to be stormed by the church, going to be stormed by the people of God, and the gates of hell will not prevent. We're on the offense. Take the sword of the Spirit and go slay the enemy with God's help today. He is your help. Drive out. Reclaim. I probably don't have time for this, but here, that's the other part. So it drove out the enemy and reclaim. I need the worship team to come back up here so that way they can keep me on track. Worship team, you can come on back up. We're almost done. But look, when you move forward with the Spirit, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I'm going to show you this real quick. Look at verses 13 and 14. Look at verses 13 and 14. It says, so the Philistines were subdued. So in other words, look, and taken from Israel, and all that had been taken from Israel was restored unto Israel. Israel wasn't under Philistine control anymore. They're gone. Wiped out. Taken care of. And everything that they had lost, God restored unto them. And not only that, look what it says and continues on. It says, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. So the Philistines weren't a problem anymore. They weren't a problem anymore. It was taken care of. That's how the Lord helped them. Listen, when you move forward with the Spirit, you will not only drive out the enemy, but praise God, the Lord will restore to you the things that the enemy has taken, and you will repossess the things that had been drawn out by the sins that had you captured. All of it's there for you to reclaim. All of it's there for you to repossess. Praise God, He's a restoring God. Amen? But you got to drive Him out. You see, some of us, we're fine if the Philistines just ended with the discomfited, right? And then let them run away. But folks, if you want to reclaim, if you want to get it all back, you got to do the second part, which is go after and make sure they don't come back again. Drive them out. Because if you don't drive out the enemy, you know what's going to happen? They're going to come back. It's going to come back. And the Holy Spirit has given you all of that. He sends His Spirit as the help to drive out, reclaim, and repossess. Which brings me back to verse 12, and that's where we're going to close. How many of you guys can raise a hand to testimony this morning and say, there's been a time in your life that the Lord has helped you? That you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, this wasn't me. This wasn't my self-help. Keep your hands up. It's all right. Come on. You've had your hands down all service. It's okay. It wasn't me. Pastor, I was lost. Pastor, I was in a mess. Pastor, I don't know how I could have ever recovered. Pastor, I was sick. But Pastor, the Lord helped me. The only thing I could say, Pastor, is, but God. Amen? You cried out to Him and He showed up. And it was by His hand and only by His hand, you can put them down now, that you were helped. That you were helped. Maybe what you need to do this morning as we go back to verse 12 is do what Samuel did. Maybe you need to set up an Ebenezer today. Because you may have said, yes, Pastor, the Lord helped me, but I'm in the same situation I was before now. You see, Pastor, the Lord drove out the enemy, but I never reclaimed and repossessed. And so the enemy came back. And I'm in the same position to help you. Maybe what you need to do after you reclaim and you repossess is you need to set up an Ebenezer. You need something in your life to remind you, hey, God helped us. You know what Samuel did? He set that Ebenezer up. Look where it says he set the Ebenezer up. Look where it says in verse 12. It says, for it was 20 years and all, or no, I'm sorry, wrong verse. And called, the, and Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen. You know where that was? That was in the field. That field in between Mizpah and Shen was the field where the Israelites were conquered 20 years earlier by the Philistines. And when the whole entire thing started going downhill, the Ark of the Covenant was taken. They were captured, they were oppressed. This is when they started intermingling their cultures. They started getting away from being the people of God. They started living in sin after sin after sin after sin, and they didn't know how to get out. Samuel said, I'm putting this Ebenezer here, and I'm reminding people that on this plot where the destruction started, God did an act of resurrection. I'm putting this Ebenezer on a spot to remind you that where we went downhill, God never left us. I'm putting this right here to remind you that when we cried out to God and we didn't feel like we were where we were supposed to be and we thought God left us, that God never did leave us. He was with us the whole time. It was us who needed to turn. It was us who needed to come back. He called the name of it Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Maybe you need to have an Ebenezer this morning. Something in your life. Something, maybe it's right now, and coming to the altar and saying, this is my Ebenezer. This is where I'm crying out to help. And this is where the Lord has helped me. And this is the moment I'm going to remember going forward. That the next time I find myself in this situation, that I can't abandon God. That I know God's there to help me. That I'm going to recognize His presence. That I'm going to recognize His word. That I'm going to cry out to Him. And I'm going to use the Spirit of God that lives and dwells within me. That I'll cry unto the Lord and praise God. Give me a reminder. The Lord helped me. That could be everybody's testimony. The Lord has helped me. The Lord has helped me. Here's the great part. Pastor, why do you need a, why are you saying I need an Ebenezer? Because you're going to forget. You're going to forget. I mean, come on, we're relating the Israelites to us here in the text. It might as well go the next step, right? The Israelites, you know what happened? They were restored unto the Lord. Great things under 1 Samuel, right? But what happens in chapter 8, for those of you who do the devotionals? In chapter 8, everything is all good, peachy keen, wonderful, things are great again. And when that happens, what happens to them? They forgot that it was the Lord that helped them. And then in chapter 8, they're crying out to Samuel, we want a king like everyone else. We don't want God anymore. We want an earthly king. You see, when you don't have those Ebenezers to remind you of the Lord's hand on your life, you tend to forget that the Lord's hand is what brought you to where you are. That it's not based on you and your good works and your good looks, but it's all because of the hand of God. You need those Ebenezers, lest you forget. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? I want to remind you today that you have that Ebenezer. You know that? That Ebenezer for you, if you're a Christian, lives and breathes inside of you. You have it. The fact that you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you, it is your sign and your seal of redemption. That's where the Lord helped you. That's where you realized you were a sinner. You cried out to God to save you. And guess what? He saved you. And He gave you His Holy Spirit as a down payment until the day of your redemption. That's your Ebenezer. You know what's so great and why the hymn writer said, here I raise my Ebenezer? Because instead of putting your Ebenezer on a ground that can't go anywhere that you got to revisit, you know what you can do? You take your Ebenezer with you everywhere you go. You have a constant reminder. The Lord has helped you. The Lord has saved you. And if He did it once, He'll do it again. Cry out to the Lord if you're in need of help this morning, Christian. Or maybe you just need to praise God and praise Him that He's an Ebenezer. That He is your stone of help. And you just need to give Him a praise for the things He's gotten you out of, the things He's sustained you through, the things He's turned around in your life. Not because you are worthy of it, but because of the grace of God. Because you're His child. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I'm in need of a lot of help because I realize I don't have that Ebenezer. Pastor, I'm not saved. Pastor, I don't know if I'd die today if I'd go to heaven. You keep talking about this Jesus who will help. Pastor, I've turned everywhere. I've done all the self-help. I've gone to Osteen, and I've gone to Oprah, and I've gone to whoever else. And it seems to help me for a little bit, but then I fall right back. I could tell you where everlasting help is found. It's found in Jesus Christ. And you know what this picture is in this? It's not just of sanctification. It's not just of restoration, but it's a picture of salvation. Look to me. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, praise God, you're in his house. You're in his presence. He's still working on you. He's still tapping on the door to your heart. You know what happened? His word came forth. The only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. You know what happened? The enemy right now is probably telling you, don't you dare respond. He's probably bringing up things in your mind. You want to be one of those Christian fanatics? You want to be one of those people who goes around and is a Jesus freak? Don't you dare respond. Don't you dare go to that altar. Listen to me. Call the devil a liar and cry out to Jesus this morning. You can cry out to God because you've got an advocate of Jesus Christ who stands in the gap and is willing to go to the Father with his righteousness, with his blood, and cover you, and you can be saved. And when you cry out to God, he'll send his Spirit, and it'll comfort you, it'll fill you, and you're his child from this day forward. Got all the help you need, and it's available. Whoo! I wouldn't walk out of here. I wouldn't walk out of here until you've cried out to the Lord for help. Until you've praised him that he is always there to help you.